where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And this podcast episode is certainly an example of that. I'm talking with Debbie Lichter on the show today, and we initially thought we were going to end up talking about addiction and what is really going on when we find ourselves addicted to something, because most of us are addicted to something, even if it's thought or love or approval from others. And we ended up talking about so many amazing things that talk about how we can truly connect with our divine essence, and how when we live in congruence with that truth, then addiction is like, it's just non-existent, because that addiction is created out of a lack of congruence. It's a powerful, powerful episode that is such a potent transmission of source energy, even though we were talking about other stuff a lot of the time. This is an amazing episode. So I am sharing with you Debbie Lichter today on the show, and we're talking about the congruency code, how to live a life in congruence with who you truly are. So for nearly a decade, Debbie Lichter has been working with women worldwide who struggle with their relationship with food, their bodies and themselves. Again, she works with women, but we are talking about stuff that serves men and women. As a health and fitness expert with 20 years experience, a women's empowerment leader and a recovered food addict, Debbie has conducted over 200 workshops, trainings and classes on healing, empowerment and addiction. Debbie's cracked the code to getting free from food addiction in particular, but she works with addiction of all kinds in just 6 months or less. Her big impact is in her ability to help the food issue just fall away, so you can be more present in your life, have more confidence, and help more people. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The addiction, whatever it is for you, is not about the thing, but about what you're running from or resisting. So we're talking about congruence today. The definition of congruence, it's not doing what you think you should be doing, but actually where your internal world matches your external world. We talk about why your addiction to food, Netflix, sex, approval, or even love is likely due to a lack of congruency somewhere in your body and in your life. We talk about Debbie's daily congruency inventory questions that are so profound for deep self-inquiry and self-knowledge, and how you can become your own mentor using these questions each night. I am going to write them down as soon as I finish recording this introduction, because they are so powerful. So make sure that you have your notepad out if you can when you're listening, because they are profound. Debbie and I talked about the courage to get honest with yourself and how that is a key determinant for a congruent and fulfilling life. Truly so profound, courage. Why we have elements of ourselves that we're not being congruent with. So what causes a lack of congruence, and what are the deep underlying causes that we may not see first out about this as well. We talk about how you can tap into an unlimited, infinite source of energy that flows through you effortlessly when you release resistance to your true self and live with congruency. And Debbie takes us through a process that is truly a transmission of that. It's very powerful. We talked about how selfishness can masquerade as selflessness, but is actually stopping you from truly serving others in a way that lights you up, and how your most selfless act can be to get out of your own way and simply serve and stop wondering if you have anything with which to serve. It's a profound shift that made a massive difference in my life. We also talked about two key tools to come back into congruence when you become aware that you're not already in that way, and why your power truly comes from your willingness to trust in the emptiness, in the empty spaces. This episode is packed with so much amazing wisdom, and as I said, an energetic transmission that I know is going to expand you in ways that may be unseen but will be profound. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show, Debbie. I'm so excited to talk about this with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited too. Thank you for having me.
Before we started this podcast, we had a little bit of a chat, and as I was talking to Debbie, I got more and more and more excited to hear about what we're going to be talking about. So Debbie, I love that you shared with me before this that all addiction seems to point to a lack of congruency in someone's life. And I'd love to hear how you define congruency and this congruency code that you were talking about before we began.
Absolutely. Gosh. So it's so fascinating because I find that congruence and congruency, sometimes people think that it's like, to be congruent means to do what I think I should be doing. But what I find is that when somebody is living incongruently, it means that what their internal experience is, the way that they're feeling, is not the same as the way they're behaving on the outside. So it's actually what I see is it's a gauge of authenticity. It's how true can you be to what is really actually happening for you inside. And what I find is that, you know, this isn't, it's not just sort of like one aspect. I find that actually, if we look at, you know, the seven chakras inside of ourselves, if we look at every single level, what was revealed to me was that if somebody is living incongruently, then at that first chakra level, they typically are feeling anxious, they're feeling alone, they're feeling ungrounded, they're feeling disconnected, and they're full of delusion. So one of the things about addiction is that addiction just loves to thrive in like dishonesty and delusion and things like that. And so I find that somebody's living incongruently, they're going to probably be experiencing addiction, they're going to be experiencing anxiety, they're going to be experiencing alone, you know, feeling alone and being really isolated. And then at the second chakra level, that incongruence starts to appear and look more like judgment. It's where our judgment lives. You know, it's interesting because second chakra, what's been revealed to me is that second chakra holds a lot of our worth. A lot of our worth conversation, this is like where like handbags would be worn or like our pockets would be or where our wallet would be in our back pocket or something. And like, so it's like money, worth, value hangs out in the second chakra a lot. And so what I see are issues of judgment, of pride, of prejudice just being another form of judgment. And that really lives there. And what I see happen a lot of times then in the addiction world is that when we're living in like a judgmental space, which closes us off and has us bracing against life, then we set ourselves up to be in sabotage patterns. We set ourselves up to have this inner rebellion. And so when I speak with folks a lot of the time, they say, I know what to do. And I sometimes have a good run, you know, especially like with the food stuff. It's like I'm eating really well and I'm exercising and I'm doing really good, you know. And then a day comes, they get a case of the fuckets and they're back in the cycle and they're like, what happened, you know? And they get this like, and so it's like this inner rebellion and stuff. And I see that playing out at the second chakra level. And then at the third chakra, it's so fascinating because, you know, this is like the area of our personal power and, you know, our willpower and things like that. But what I find is that oftentimes we're operating, we're actually hemorrhaging our power a lot of times here. And the way that can show up is that we are performing more than we're present. You know, we're people pleasing and we're trying to you know, do things perfectly, and we're trying to prove ourselves. And so it's very egoic, and it's almost like an ego, like this like free agent that's running around, that's detached from divine source, that's sort of like out for itself, you know, like I'm, you know, like, and I'm not going to get what I need, and I need you to like me, and I need you to, you know, do this out here in the world. And so there's just a lot of attachment, a lot of courting. And what I see is this pattern of like an external feedback loop, where it's like, we're just so looped into the outside world of, you know, instead of my self-worth and my sense of identity and value coming from my own inner divine connection and the truth of who I am, instead I'm looking to the outside world to inform who I am, and I'm caught up with their opinions and their attitudes and their perspectives. And so it really keeps us like off balance energetically, off balance physically, off balance spiritually. And it sets us up for a lot of self-doubt. And so what I see a lot happening incongruence-wise in the third chakra level is a lot of ways that we are self-abandoning, self-betraying, and we're full of doubt and we're full of dependence. And so it's really, there's a lot that's happening there. And of course, you know, specializing primarily in working with folks around food addiction, but really all addictions, you know, trusting our guts is so important. It really, really is. And I know, you know, we spoke a little bit about the inner guidance system. We can talk about that in a little bit, but it's, you know, gut instinct is a huge piece of that. And so that's just a really, really big piece. So that's just, that's just the first three chakras of what incongruence looks like. Yeah. So it's just there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And then of course it goes all the way up. Yeah.
There's so much in what you shared already that I'm like, wow.
I know.
I love it. And there's one thing that you said that I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's what I do. So I want to talk about that. So
it's, yeah,
not like I'm sharing for everyone else. Everyone, you can see the behind the scenes of my life. So I was talking just yesterday morning with a friend of mine about eating healthy. And I generally eat pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. But I don't always eat pretty healthy. And I really do get a case of what you call the fuck it. And I'm like, and it's because, I wonder if it's because it's incongruent with me. So that was really interesting. So I am a massive foodie and I take so much pleasure in eating food and being in company with other people and the whole process of it. And treating food like it's just simply nourishment is something that I've really been challenged with, because it's like, to me, it's an experience. And so I try to, like, so generally, like during the week, if I'm working, I'm so high and full of like channeling my work that I actually only drink a smoothie for most of the day. And then in the afternoon, I'll eat something more solid. And I can eat like a salad or something and be done. Like, that's how much food I generally actually need from my body, as long as it's got like pretty high fats. And then, so that's me. Like, that's, I'm not saying that's everyone, but that's what I feel like I need. But then I'm like, no, that is so boring. If all I ate was a salad tonight, is that really how I want to spend the rest of my life? And it feels like, it doesn't feel like as fun as I want to be on the inside. And so I wonder if that's what's going on. I'm like, I can't live the rest of my life just eating boring food for nourishment. I just can't do it. And so that's why I then like sabotage myself. And so can you tell us, like, let's all learn through this experience. Is that incongruency, or is that something else altogether?
You know, it's so interesting because, and here's just the paradigm that I come from, where I don't see things as right or wrong. I just, you know, my question is always, how is it working for you? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's very important to understand what, like, if you're talking about addiction, because I think, you know, like we started the conversation in kind of in the context of addiction or food addiction. Mm-hmm. And really there's like three different kinds of eaters. There's like the moderate eater who can sort of take food or leave it alone. There's like the hard eater, someone who might sometimes binge, they might have really erratic food patterns. They might even look like they've got a real addiction, or maybe they are really underweight or really overweight. But given sufficient reason, they can stop or moderate. And like, I've got a friend who back in 2012 just said, I'm just going sugar free. And then he just went sugar free and like never looked back and like never had a problem with it. And just kind of like made a decision. And that's great, you know? And when I speak with folks, there's a third category where, given sufficient reason, they still can't stop or moderate. So it means that like they want to eat healthier, they want to make those good choices, and yet like they'll start to eat something and then it'll taste really good and then they don't want to stop, and then feeling full doesn't make them stop. And that's how I was. That was very much me. Like, I could feel full, but I wasn't done eating, and I would just keep going. And so, you know, I think that when we're dealing with food addiction, and somebody's trying to understand, and I don't diagnose people, in fact, because that would just be more external feedback loop stuff, and I don't get into that stuff with folks. But when I work with folks, I take them through a 6-step self-diagnostic process where they can uncover their own truth, because I always want to bring it back to their experience, not what they think they know, but what their experience is, and for them to, like, for their truth to be revealed to them. And so, just to kind of circle back to your question, is that incongruence? Some of the themes that I see wrapped up in the second chakra are the question I always ask myself there when I'm doing my own congruence inventory that I do every day is like, where am I fighting life? Like, where am I bracing against life? Where is there like, a little bit of a friction against life? You know, this is where I find our inner girl lives, or our inner boy. And so I'm really aware of really checking in with my inner girl and really making sure that she's getting what it is that she needs every single day. And when she's not getting what she needs, she will throw a temper tantrum, and she will want what she wants, and she wants to have her cake and eat it too. And so, you know, like, those would be the questions that I would ask, instead of like, is it congruence or not, or incongruence? It's more of like, I would start to explore more with you. So like, how is that working for you? Like, do you go and you have a really fun meal on the weekend and it feels really good and you feel really good about it, and it doesn't, like, you're not in obsession around it. You kind of go back to work on Monday or on Sunday. You don't wake up feeling guilt and shame. You know, like, I would want to flesh that out with you a little bit more to really understand that.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, start to ask you some other questions that I find are really, really pertinent to that area, and really finding out, you know, yeah, like, when's the last time you just said, you know, you asked your inner girl what she wants to do today, you know, and really gave her a chance to feel expressed, and does she feel shut down at all?
That's cool. I love that. Thank you. And we won't do those because I feel like I want to talk about so much more. But I do love that. And when I was speaking with my friend yesterday, I decided that I need to make the process of creating healthy food that I know works for me more fun and pleasurable, and to like dance around the kitchen as I do it.
Yes.
And that would feel the need and get the healthy food that I know feels better as I eat it. So it's like I came to the end result, I think, of like allowing my inner girl to play, but I didn't know those questions. So that's really cool. I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Your inventory checklist of congruency, or whatever you called it, I want to know about that. What do you
think? Yeah.
Like, we will in the secret episode go into the back end of your life a bit more, but we need to know about this in this podcast right now. What is your congruency inventory checklist each day?
Yeah, so it's something that I have as a part of the program that I do with my clients. It really just channeled through, because I realized, you know, like, we were talking about these sort of like, you know, just challenges that come up at every single level. And so really, so I go through and it's like my nightly review, and I'm asking myself, okay, where do I need to get honest? You know, and usually like, actually, like I can just ask that question and my inner guidance is like it'll just start to talk to me. And I sometimes don't even have to go any further than that. Cause it's like this, and this, because you know, that's the thing. I really, really believe that we are getting guidance all the time. It's just that oftentimes we're either not ready to hear something. We're scared for the implications of what it might ask us to do. Sometimes we get some very, very clear guidance on some major, major choices in our lives, and we're not ready to make those choices for other reasons that are attached to our third and fourth chakras. And so, you know, we create a lot of disturbance. So we say we don't hear, or we kind of like, you know, kind of jam the circuit, I think, a little bit. But anyway, so that's the first thing. So I just ask that question at the first level. At the second level, I say, where am I fighting? You know, and I kind of go through, and then the third level is like, where am I in doubt? Where am I self-betraying? It's those questions. When we get into the fourth, the heart chakra, what I really see is stuff that's weighing heavy on us. You know, our resentments and our fears and our shame and our blame and things like that. And so that's where I start to get in some inquiry about like what's weighing heavy on my heart, and am I, you know, closing myself off, and just really getting honest about how I'm doing in my, you know, my conduct and my relationships. And then at the throat, this is like our truth center. And so this is really, you know, like the inquiry here is, am I withholding anything? Is there any, like, is there any truth that needs to be spoken that hasn't been spoken? Is there a conversation that needs to be had, or is there something that I'm swallowing? Like, how am I honoring the space? Are there limiting beliefs that I am, you know, that are like taking me and having their way with me? Or am I in self-seeking, you know, from the third eye? Am I in self-seeking instead of like in divine vision and divine will? And then at the crown, it's really getting into like, where am I playing God? You know, where have I essentially, you know, like put myself in the role of playing God? I think that's a whole conversation that we could get into. But yeah, so I ask these questions, I ask it in the meditation, and I just get hits, like, and then I have processes for each of those things that, that I teach my clients so that they can come into, you know, just like they can come into a congruent relationship with those things. And so that they're able to keep their channel clear.
I love that so much. I can really feel the power of that, Debbie. My gosh. Because it's like, so when I like show up to a meeting with my mentors, I know they're going to see everything I've got, you know, like I've chosen them carefully so that they will. And I know that they'll like know those things about me. But that's like a way that you are checking in with a mentor who loves you. Like your soul is the one that you're kind of connecting with in that, and that mentor loves you so much and only wants the best for you, and you're checking in each night going, how am I going? Like, what can I learn from how I showed up today? That is so powerful, Debbie. Like, we are done with the podcast, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. That is all we needed to talk about. It really is so powerful, and I invite everyone, like everyone listening, please get honest with yourself, do these questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can sense the freedom on the other side of having the answers to this, even if the answers are scary to receive sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things about being in congruence is, what are the things that we're afraid of that stop us from being in congruence in the first place? Some mm-hmm. people probably would run from these questions as you asked. I'm like, I can't wait to do these.
Totally.
and it is, I believe that it is courage that can really define our life's path. Do we run from our fear, or do we meet it and show it love? And that can be a huge factor in like how amazing and inspired and fulfilling our life is. So what are some of the fears perhaps or resistances that we stop ourselves from living in congruence with.
Totally. You know, even just in, and you were so spot on, love, like the hesitation to even do the very first thing of getting honest. Getting honest is, I mean, it is, it's the most underrated spiritual practice. It is spirituality of the highest order, and it is so simple, and yet it is so major and has such major implications. Like the ability to be honest with ourselves and others is like big league spirituality. And I find that a lot of folks are really hesitant to do that because of our limiting beliefs. I think there's a lot of misinterpretations, misunderstandings about what getting honest is. And oftentimes people go in the direction of getting honest is about me, like, it's about like shame or humiliation, or, you know, about like, I need to, you know, come out here and I need to be called out on my stuff. And, you know, there's kind of like something there's a layer of that, of like, it just feels like very, very embarrassing mm-hmm. because people have this association of like, it's very, it's shaming and whatever. There's also that because of people's self-concept, they already feel so not enough, or like too much of the wrong things and not enough of the right things, or whatever it is, like just like, or not the right kind, like whatever it is, like we all feel like we're the one person who just doesn't fit. You know, we didn't get the playbook for life that day. Like everyone else got it. And we're just sort of like, how did everyone else get this? And, you know, in them. and so the idea like that I'm going to sit here and take some inventory and get honest, it's like, well, why would I even want to make myself feel even worse about myself? Because I have a fear of being a failure. I have a fear of being irreparably broken. I have a fear of being unlovable. I have a fear of deep, deep humiliation and actually being ostracized from tribe. You know, like there's like the very, very primal fears that come up for us. And so we have, you know, fear of abandonment, fear of being alone. I mean, these very, very core fears are so powerful that they propel us into acting in ways that are incongruent, acting in ways that are a little bit delusional or denying or distracting. So for me, I was like a big distract. I would distract myself. Like I was just a busy person all the time. And that allowed me to stay in like enough chaos in my life and like putting out fires and managing like the minutia of my life and feeling anxious and being obsessed and like overly fixating on my body and on food and, you know, like, and just allowed me to stay in just enough chaos that I never really had to get real. And so I think sometimes we don't even know that we have the fear. We're just so in like, I don't have the time, I don't have the this, I don't have the that, I, you know, and like we just have all these like kind of like very surface level ideas, but it's like underneath it is like this big like no. and so really I think what people need is they need to be held in the right context where they feel safe in getting honest with themselves. And it's really challenging to get honest with yourself if you're not sure that there's a way out. And so that's why it's really important, I feel like, to be held, first of all, to be held in a really, really safe container where you're getting honest with yourself, like you're allowed to like unravel and you can be held in that, but that you also know like that somebody's illuminating the path for you to actually find freedom, and that you're not just having to sit there and like, okay, I'm like now in this like swamp, you know?
Yeah. That's why I really, really feel the benefit of a mentor is just like, maybe not even always to teach you, but to love you while you teach yourself and remember for yourself.
Totally.
And I would honestly have fallen apart so much more than I already have fallen apart in my life if it wasn't for my mentors who like held me as I didn't know how to do that for myself sometimes. So yes, mentors. I feel like it's one of those things that everyone says like, oh, what do you think really shifted things for you? And it can be a mentor. And it's like mentors and meditation are like those two things where everyone's like, yes, I know, but it's so powerful. So powerful. Okay. So we've talked about what does it look like if we're not congruent. But what does it look like if we are? How does our life feel and look, and how do we experience it as different when we are showing up as congruent?
I love this question, and I want to paint a picture for you. I want you to imagine a person, and I want you to imagine the seven chakras. And I want you to imagine that the universe, as we know, is constantly trying to inform and gift and guide us at every single moment. So you can imagine like, you know, light, love, energy pouring down to the top of our heads and coming up through our feet and trying to come into our systems. And then imagine if you are incongruent internally, and imagine that you're shut down in your throat chakra, you're often limiting beliefs, you've closed off your heart with resentment and fear, you're not trusting your gut, you don't feel grounded, you feel alone, you're isolating, you're full of judgment. And imagine almost creates like a zigzag, like it's not even like you don't even have internal alignment. And so imagine that this is creating like an energetic pinball with the universe's, you know, gifts and guidance and miracles. And we actually cannot receive it. And now I want you to imagine that you're able to get honest with yourself at the base level. You are open-minded and willing at your second chakra. You are full of inner trust and divine and alignment with the divine. So that third chakra will is connected with divine will. You're compassionate and open at your heart. You are speaking truth and speaking up at the throat. You are aligned in your thoughts. Your mind is aligned, and you are in deep service to the divine and the people around you. And when we have that congruency, then we are able to receive and fully manifest. We're able to pull that gift, those gifts and guidance all the way through us. And so imagine that it's coming down through the top of the head, right? Coming all the way down through your body. And then at the bottom, it circles out to the sides and then circles around and comes back down almost like two sides of an apple, right? Like if you sliced an apple in half, like this toroidal image. And then in the opposite direction, it's also coming up through the bottom, coming up through your system and pouring out through the top of your head, fountaining out to the side and coming back down into the earth and pouring back, coming up and resourcing all the way up through you again. And so you have these two directions that are moving through you simultaneously, informing you in every single moment. You can imagine yourself to be like the center of the flower of life. And that is living congruently. And what I would offer is that we go from incongruence to congruence, to confluence, where we actually are connected to all things.
Yeah, that was a beautiful transmission. That was lovely. I could have sat while you explained that all day. I loved it. Confluence, where we're connected to all things. So you're saying that when we're clearing out the resistance to that flow of energy that's moving through us, then we are congruent with ourselves, but then we are also in non-resistance to all of life.
Yeah. That's it. Non-resistance to all of life. One of the ways that I describe it with my clients is because especially when we're talking about that external feedback loop, I talk to them about, you know, how we're outsourcing our power. We're outsourcing our power. And what we need to do is we need to resource our power. And so what I help folks do is come back into resourcing. It's not just about spiritual beliefs, but it's about regaining access, regaining spiritual access at the deepest level and resourcing that power. And then the third part of it is that after we are fully resourced, then we do something that I call intersourcing, where then it's like from this resource channel, then I can go out into the world, I can serve, I can share, and it fills me while it fills the world. And so there's this beautiful relationship, and that's where I see the confluence also being another way of describing that. It's like it fills me to fill the world. And as the world heals, I heal. And as I heal, the world heals, and it's no longer, there's nothing separate anymore.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Again, mm-hmm. Transmission, like everyone's so clear skin. Not just Debbie's words that she's sharing with us. It's mm-hmm. the energy. So mm-hmm. please allow yourself to receive that. I loved that you talked about it's not just spiritual beliefs, and I feel so strongly about that. I feel like we, I don't know, it's almost like I'm going to just say it. When I started this whole spiritual journey, I was like, I want to learn how to manifest because I wanted to control the world around me. And I wanted to, my mentor says, like, I wanted to master the illusion of the world around me versus I wanted to transcend the illusion and realize it was all an illusion. And so you're talking about not going, how can I be more powerful in the world, as in like this illusion that actually, you know, like we're not collecting houses and cars and like things around us that make us feel powerful, but how can we let the actual power of our true self and our infinite nature run through our bodies so that we recognize that all of the rest of the stuff is just part of like the playground that our soul is creating versus the thing that we are using spirituality to control. And it's such a powerful shift that when you go from I want to find out everything I can and like draw in this energy just so I can control the world versus I want to remember I am this energy and I'm here to serve. Like it's such a powerful shift. So I love the way that you just spoke about that.
I so agree with you, sister. Like I so agree with you. And what came through for me a couple of years ago, and it's like it just feels, because I was having a hard time with so many of my contemporaries focusing on self-mastery, and everything was like master this and master that and master this and master that. And I was like, what if it's not about self-mastery? What if it's about the mystery? You know, and is it possible that we've know enough spirituality to be dangerous to ourselves and others?
Yeah.
And what if actually the most powerful path to true authentic spirituality is through the path of humility. Mm. And, you know, it's so interesting because what I find at the core of addiction, and I speak as this, and I'm someone who has, I have gotten free from multiple addictions. And I find that really at the core of it is pride. Mm. Pride is like this, because what pride does is it blocks us from the sunlight of the spirit, and it disconnects us. It creates that first separation. And so, I really, really feel very passionate what you're sharing about.
I almost want to talk about this podcast as being like real spirituality versus all of the ideas that we think.
Yes,
but the pride thing is interesting. I want to talk about that some more because I feel like there's almost this like the deep fear that we are unworthy, or you said like irreparably broken, they're so massive as well. And that we block our own sunlight from the divine because we don't think that we're worthy of the sun to shine on us on some days. And some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't, like, even now, some days I still have that. And then I have luckily lots of great things to like remember that again. But the pride thing is interesting. And I wonder, like, this is just an exploration question. You might not even have the answers to this, but I feel like, could that pride be coming from, so it's like one layer is pride. And then underneath that, it's this deep fear that we are unworthy. And so then we put almost like a false sense of pride on top of that. So it,
that's it.
Like, so it actually, oh, so it's like the disconnect. We believe we're disconnected from God, source, whatever. And then we think that we're disconnected because we're unworthy. And so then we put like pride and all of these things on top of it to try and feel worthy. But really we need to go back to remembering that we're not disconnected in the first place.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I think I answered my own question.
Yeah, no, but that's exactly what it is. And that's why in the second chakra, when I work with women, I work primarily with women as my clients, but what I work with people around is pride and prejudice, you know, because it's really like, where are we in judgment? And then where are we in that false pride where, you know, false pride says, I know. False pride doesn't want to ask for help. False pride wants to have it figured out. False pride doesn't think very highly of itself, but we're always thinking of ourselves, you know? And so it's just these very, very interesting things where I just really, like, that was my biggest thing. I on another day, or maybe on the little behind the scenes thing, I actually did a stage performance on pride. I did a whole poem about that stuff, because yeah, it was like just the ways I was just calling it out, you know, the kind of like these subtle ways that we're really in pride and it's really keeping us blocked. Yeah.
I love how you said where we don't think very highly of ourselves, but we do think of ourselves all the time. And that was a huge transformation for me internally. When I realized that every time that I had an unworthy thought in some way, it was kind of like blocking me from just serving others. So like the greatest gift that we can give to other people is to just like almost stop questioning if we're worthy, decide that we are and go out and serve.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I'm so on the same page as you, Cara. I didn't realize how selfish my negative self thinking was until I realized how selfish it was, because it's just any, like you said, anything that's taking me away from how I can be of service in this moment, is just actually, it's a waste and it's actually selfish. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. This is like, I feel so excited for everyone to receive this transition work and the energy of it. Before we finish up, I want to ask you, for the people who are feeling like, okay, now that they've shown the light on it, maybe there are parts of me that aren't in congruence. And do you know what? We're all a work in progress. Like, I've found stuff while I've been listening, and maybe you have as well. Like, there's always parts. I'm going to invite you to share how they can find out about you some more in a sec, but I want to know, what can they do at home if they've realized that they're out of congruence in some way? They start to, like, you talked as well about having the information and knowing it and still not being able to shift it. Like, that's the thing. So some of us might be at home going, yeah, I don't speak my truth and I don't know how to do anything about that. How do they start to shift over?
Yeah, gosh, great question. So, well, there's a way of being gentle with ourselves. There's a couple of tools that I would just offer as we are in this self-exploration. And the one is to really adopt an attitude of curiosity versus condemnation. And so, you know, if it was like that, I don't speak my truth and what's going on with that, you know, I might get curious about that. Okay, well, you know, and going back to that first question, you know, well, where do I need to get honest with myself? But that can, that creates a space where we're able to come to what the real thing is. What I find is a lot of folks are, we're so judgmental of ourselves, and we assume that others are judgmental of us too. And then we have a lot of attachments to how we want them to receive and perceive us. Mm. And we want to look good. And so sometimes even just getting into your own inner inquiry around that, you can really uncover if you get curious, wow, I'm really, really attached to looking good. I'm really attached to needing other people to understand me, or needing other people to not judge me, or, you know what, wow, it really is something here. And here's the thing, is that authenticity, anything that we do in the direction of authenticity, which getting honest is an aspect of authenticity, actually it is congruent, is a congruent act. And anytime we are tapping into how we're really feeling, because what I find oftentimes is like, we have all of these patterns and all of these coping techniques and things because we're afraid to get real and we're afraid to feel. And so those become two wonderful access points for us to really go in and like, can I create space for what I'm feeling right now? Or can I create, you know, can I bring in some grace so that I can get real right now? So that would be like the one tool would be like just an attitude of curiosity versus condemnation. And then another tool is really just going for the authenticity. Where can I get more real, and where can I really tap into what I feel? And the third thing, and I guess they all sort of like dovetail and support each other, but the third thing that I really support my clients with is, you know, we talked earlier about like bracing yourself against life. And there's this kind of like, it happens with us at a physiological level, at an energetic level, at a spiritual level, at a mental level. There's like this inner brace that happens. Mm. And so I say, well, why don't we take that brace into an embrace? And what if I could just wrap my arms around the fullness of my experience today? Because sometimes there's like, you know, like let's take food, for example. You know, you go and you eat the thing, and you overeat, and you're feeling, and then the guilt and the shame sets in, and then the should set in, and then the judgment sets in. And then it's like not just the actual act, but then it's the judgment about the act. And you know that you shouldn't judge, so you're trying not to judge, but you can't judge, and you're judging the party that's judging. And it's just like, it like piles up. You know what I mean?
Sounds like you just took a peek in my head on like a because of the judgment that I called it a bad day. Oh my gosh.
Totally. And so what if the practice was not to have done it anyway, but what if the practice was to actually embrace the fullness of the experience of that moment? That there's a part of me that is doing the thing. There's a part of me that's judging it. There's a part of me that's judging the part that's judging. There's a part of me that would have been doing it. Like just like, can I just create the space to embrace all of that? And in that space, can I invite in grace and trust that it will take me to a new place? Yeah.
Wow. That is so powerful, because as you witness all of that, you become the observer. You become the awareness that's just watching it all versus being one of those versions of you.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, Debbie, you are incredible. I feel so aww, blessed to be able to talk to people like you all the time. Aww. Like, it's amazing. How do people come find you after this so that they can work with you or learn from you or just be reminded by you?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Thank you. I have lots of videos and tools and resources on my website, freefromfoodaddiction.com. Mm-hmm. And so freefromfoodaddiction.com is a great place to find me. I primarily work with folks with food addiction, but I actually have a number of clients who are dealing with all kinds of addictions. And so you can still access me on that. You can also send me a message on, you know, on Facebook, Debbie Lichter, you're welcome to just find me on Facebook. I absolutely have time. When people contact me and they send me a personal message, I always respond personally. It's my absolute honor to do that. Mm. And thank you for asking.
Yeah, my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Debbie, it's been amazing to talk with you. I feel like I love talking about this stuff so much, and I love learning as we talk about it.
Totally.
So good. I hope that everyone who is listening has enjoyed this. And if you have, and if like me, you feel that you've received value from it, I invite you and I call you to share it. Like, hit the share button, tell other people about it, because you just can't know the impact that you're having in someone's life by allowing them to receive this message. Every time that I do a podcast interview, I set an intention with the guest beforehand. And one of them is that everyone who needs to hear this message receives it. And so I invite you, if you feel called, to share so that you can help that happen. You could be someone's miracle today. Like, that's that powerful. And if you would like to continue this discussion, to tell us what you found when you did this really powerful self-inquiry that Debbie has led us through today, then I invite you to head to our Facebook group, Lightworkers Rising, and find my face and Debbie's face and this podcast, and come on over and share with us, like, what did you get from, what did you receive, what insight, like, shifted something inside of you as you listen to this transmission. And you will also find a home with other lightworkers who are all creating a safe space in the world for us to be truly congruent and to shine our light. And it's like, it's remarkable. So please come join us. Lightworkers Rising. Debbie looks like she's going to be a part of it. I'll add her.
I love it. Well, we didn't even talk about this, but my every day at noon, I'm here to create a global constellation of people who are lit up, who are free from addiction and lighting up others. And every single day at noon, I do a visualization of the global constellation of light workers who are lit up and living free. And I imagine us completely in enveloping the entire planet with light and with love. And so I'm like, yes.
That's amazing. I do that every morning as well. Mine is, my particular take on it is to see everyone like embody their divinity, and to as if it's common sense. Like, of course you're divine. Like, we don't, like, we go to a doctor maybe just to have them remind us that of course we can heal it ourselves, you know, like,
yeah.
Kind of world. That's what I see every day. Like, I watch people get taller as they remember their divinity, and it's amazing. So come join us in Lightworkers Rising if you feel called. And Debbie and I are about to head over and do the secret episode so we can find out what happens behind the scenes in her life. No one gets where they are just waking up one day and they're like free from addiction and living an awesome life where they do what they love. But Debbie is. So let's find out how she got there. Let's find out what were the daily success habits and routines, just like what you just shared with us then about what you do every day at noon. Those kind of things, the background stuff that people don't see until we ask the questions. That's what we do in the secret episode. So head to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, and that's where you'll get access to Debbie's secret episode and everyone else's that we've ever done as well. Thank you again so much, Debbie. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kiara.
It's our collective energies that create this, and it's so freaking powerful. So thank you.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.